Hey everyone, and welcome back to this weekend's Bite-Sized Blessings episode. This time, I'm introducing you to a truly exemplary human being, Drew Ann Long. And honestly, she made me think of, you know, we all have those times in our lives where we come up against something, or we encounter something, or we have something, you know, happen to us, or maybe for us, and suddenly, we have to learn how to navigate the world in an entirely new way. Now, Drew had that happen with the birth of her child, Caroline, who is disabled, and suddenly, Drew was confronted with the fact that she had a child that needed a lot of care. You know, we have a really beautifully deep conversation about what it looks like to show up for those people in our lives who maybe can't show up for themselves. But the journey that Drew went on went far beyond the scope of her imagination, and I think, as you'll hear, surprised even her. You know, to be honest, on her website, it said, Drew turned frustration into innovation when she designed Caroline's Cart, the first patented grocery cart for individuals with special needs. And Drew details that story here, how after years and years of kind of coming up with a prototype, finding the money to develop it, all the major retailers said no. But as with many things, it takes a village at times. And Drew talks about her village and how basically worldwide, this village made it impossible for those retailers to say no. Drew is funny. She's self-effacing. She's full of light and goodness and beauty, but she's mostly full of unstoppability. And you'll hear that in this episode, because when Drew wants to get something done, y'all better watch out, because it's going to happen. So now, this very next episode with this incredible changemaker, Drew Ann Long.
It was so much pressure. Because I'm like, gosh, David, not only will I fail our family if I can't do this, which, and he never said that to me. My husband's fabulous and so supporting. Not only I feel like I failed our family, I failed our retirement, I failed our future. I feel like I'm failing the world's largest minority group. They are counting on me. I would say, hello, my name is Drew Ann Long. I am the founder of Caroline's Cart and the founder of Caroline's Cause. I'm a married mom of three. I live in a suburb close to Birmingham, Alabama. I have two typical children, one special needs child. And on October 9th, 2000, I was immediately thrust into the world of disability, a world I knew nothing about, a world I didn't want to be in, but nonetheless, a world that I was going to try to make a difference, not only in the life of my daughter, but in the lives of others.
Yeah. And I, you know, my question was going to be, how did you, first, your cause is just astonishing. And I would love for you to describe, you know, the work that you're doing now. And how did that journey happen for you to, you know, kind of reach
a point?
Well, yes. How to get to this place where you thought, oh my gosh, nobody else is doing anything about this. I'm going to do something about it.
Well, the cause, which is my scholarship nonprofit, I really can't talk about that because it came off. It was birthed by the cart. So I have Caroline's Cart, which is my for-profit business. And because of the success of that, it kind of birthed the cause, if that makes any sense.
So how did you decide that you needed to invent Caroline's Cart? What was the impetus? Were you at the store one day? Was it just too frustrating to, you know, just go shopping? How did that happen?
So I started this about 15 years ago. So I had three little kids at home. My husband traveled for a living. I had no family up here. And of course, I was at the store at least twice a week, if not more. My daughter was born with Rett syndrome. It's genetic. She doesn't walk, doesn't talk, is tube fed, so she's pretty involved. So I would just carry her, you know, instead of bringing her wheelchair in and having two other kids and a shopping cart, I would just carry her in and I would use what the stores provided, which were the fun carts, the race cars, the fire trucks. And those were great. Loved them. Loved them. But when she outgrew that around 8 years old, I went to my store manager and I said, well, look, we're small town Alabama. You see me in here all the time. She's now outgrown the fun carts. Is there a special needs shopping cart? I'm sure there is. And he said, oh, I'm sure there is. I said, well, can you get it for me? And then we circled back a week later and both of us had done our research to find out, no, there is not a special needs shopping cart. So it was born out of the need for my daughter.
And I want to ask, when you realize this, did you think to yourself, okay, how am I going to get this going? Did you have to partner with anyone to create it? Because I am terrible with designing things and spatial kind of trying to figure things out. So did you design it yourself or did you find someone to do that for you?
Okay. Well, if you've ever seen it, and here's a little picture, it's a, you know, I am not an inventor. People introduce me as that. That's fine. I don't really correct them, but I'm an innovator. What is an innovator? It takes something that is already out there and it makes it better. So Caroline's cart was a simple modification to a traditional shopping cart. My husband and I went out to dinner. I drew it on a napkin. I'm like, David, this is not hard. This is not rocket science. I am not inventing anything. I'm making simple modifications. It's not electronic. This can't be that hard to do. So I literally it went from a napkin to a piece of paper. And there's four shopping cart manufacturers in the United States, four. There's like one major player and then, you know, three others. And I reached out to all of them and I didn't want money. I was just saying, hey, there's a huge gap in the market here. The special needs population is the world's largest minority group. Let me say that again, because people are always like, what? The special needs population is the world's largest minority group. And I said, this is a huge, huge need in every retailer, in every community, in the U.S. and beyond. You need to do it. They all quickly dismissed me. I was like, nope, not interested. There's not a need. So I was like, well, first of all, it really made me mad. I'll be honest. And because I wasn't looking for any, I was just like, just do that. I mean, I felt like I was handing them this great idea. And they were all like, shoe fly, not interested, lady. Go home. Go back to Alabama. So there I was. And it was really a defining moment because I told my husband, I said, there is a need. They have no idea because they don't live in the world of disability. And you can't fault anyone for that. I don't fault anyone for not knowing. I knew nothing until I was born into it via my daughter. So I told my husband, I'm like, this is something I got to do. My husband worked and he patted me on the head and he's like, I will be your biggest cheerleader. But, you know, he traveled for a living. And there I was. I have a college degree in business. I worked in accounting. But because of my daughter, I was at home. Stay-at-home mom of three littles. Had absolutely no idea. None whatsoever. And I was alone. And I thought, okay, I'm going to try to figure this out. And that's what I did.
I have to tell you that I think sometimes for me, when I think about embarking on a big adventure, I get overwhelmed and I think, I don't know if I can do this, but you just seem to have this unstoppable spirit where you don't take no for an answer and you're just going to figure it out and get it done. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
That has become a fair assessment. I don't think it was 15 years ago. I was just the stay-at-home mom in survival mode with three little kids, one severely disabled. But I came to that because that's what it took to get this off the ground. Entrepreneurship is certainly not for the weak, and I knew nothing about it. And I love when people say, oh, the cart is successful. What is your number one piece of advice? So easy for me to give this number one piece of advice. What is that word? Naivety. Am I saying that right? I was so naive And hallelujah, and I'm glad that I was, because I thought it would be easy. Had I seen the big picture of what it would take and the years that it took and the financial burden that it was on this family that I put us in, I would still be under my bed sucking my thumb. I would have never done it. So be naive. I'm so glad that I was so stupid in those early years to think that I would take my little drawing, fa-la-la, hi, I've got this best time. And everybody was just going to be like, yes, yes. And it was absolutely the opposite. So yes, I became someone that refused to take no for an answer. And that's the only way this thing happened.
Wow. It's like you found another part of yourself that you didn't know existed,
but was always
mm-hmm. there. Now, let me ask you, I like to ask this question just because it's so interesting to me, but when you were a kid, what did you dream of becoming?
A mom. I always wanted to be a mom.
Okay. Because
I was just big time into my baby dolls, and that really never changed. I mean, I wanted a degree. I went to college, but I couldn't wait to be a mom, and that dream did come true.
Yeah. I mean, because as you said, entrepreneurship is not for the weak of heart or the faint of heart. I think you really have to believe in yourself and kind of forge forward, even when everyone else is saying no. A lot of people say, oh, astronaut or firefighter. But I doubt many kids say entrepreneur,
Right. Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And I've seen these amazing, you on stage, you captivate audiences. People want to know about this. And because I think I'm frankly shocked that you went to those shopping cart manufacturers and they did not see the need. I find that so bizarre. For me, it was like a little bit of prejudice against the special needs community.
100%. And, it's very hard to not have a special needs child and have a bit of that, a little chip on your shoulder, because the world is hard for them. And as a parent, as a mother, as a dad, as a caregiver, you want it not to be. And that's just not the reality of it. So unless you meet someone along your journey that is walking the same path, you don't have that understanding. So I know that the four companies that I reached out to, That was indeed the fact. They didn't live in that world. But what I do fault them at is just being so brief with me and cutting me off so quickly and just dismissing it, because it was a huge missed opportunity for them.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. So now I'm just curious. Did you then, after you invent this and it's just out in the world, did you have to go to grocery stores? Did they have to actually order them?
Oh yeah. So when the four shopping cart manufacturers told me no, and I was like, okay, well, I'm doing this. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I was so naive. I thought, watch this. This will be done in fast. Let's watch this. So it took me about 6 to 9 months to find a prototype. So I got a prototype in Indianapolis, Indiana, and it cost $28,000, just one prototype. So there's our savings gone. So I'm already in panic mode. So I brought it home and it's sitting in my dining room, actual dining room I'm sitting in. And I was like, gosh, now what do I do? I mean, I knew I needed it to demo it. But you could only put some, it only held up to 50 pounds. That is not Caroline's cart. Caroline's cart goes up to 250. So I'm like, okay, so what do I do? So I took pictures of it. Yeah. I was living in Oz. Let me tell you, I was absolutely living in Oz. That's how I survived. Rainbows and unicorns, my husband says. So I took pictures of it and I was like, I don't know. Their Facebook world, special needs world. Look at this. Oh my gosh. Instantly. Within a week, I probably had 1,000 emails. Need it? Where do you get it? I got email from South Africa. It was international. Gotta have it. What grocery store has this? Blah, 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 blah. I'm under my dining room table hiding, thinking, oh my gosh, people really want this, David. I don't even have a manufacturer. Not only do I not have a manufacturer, manufacturers aren't even interested in this. So because of that, I picked one of the shopping cart manufacturers, one of the four, and I drove my cart up there. So now this, so the first time in person was no. So I'm like, I'm going to circle back. So now I took all the carts up, the seats in my minivan. I loaded up this orange prototype, drove it up there to North Carolina because they were the best, the biggest, and that's the one I wanted to work with. And they told me no the second time. Cried all the way home. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have no money. Now, I've started some patent work by then. I've gone to, you know, I've got friends and they were like, you need patents on this. So I had to find a patent attorney. That cost a fortune. Every bonus, every dime. We did not vacation. We put everything we had into it. We were in debt up to our eyeballs. But I told my husband, I'm like, I jumped off a cliff. Now I'm out there. We got to figure this out, buddy. He's like, no, you got to figure this out, sister. Daddy has a job. So it took me a long, long time. I found a manufacturer in Georgia who made like lumber carts for Lowe's, if you know what the lumber carts are, but he had never made a shop. He's like, I think I can do that. So 100 Caroline's carts cost me $100,000. Didn't have $100,000. I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? We've spent all of our money. I'm probably at this point, because I had to have a couple prototypes along the way, I'm probably easy $300,000 at this point. It cost $500,000. It cost $500,000 to do this. Oh my gosh. Everybody's like, oh, you had the money. No, I didn't. We drained our retirement. So to get the 100 carts, we had to go to our 401k. Said we'd never do it. Had to do it. It was that we didn't have a choice. Didn't have a choice. Again, I was living in Oz and I just, it was just full steam ahead. So took money out of our 401k, got 100 carts, went to Walmart, went to Target, they all said, nope, 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 nope. Don't want it. Don't want it. Don't want it. I was like, why don't you want it? They're like, well, we only buy from this one shopping cart manufacturer and they're in North Carolina. Now, remember, they told me no twice in person. Two times. So I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, it was just years of crying. I mean, look, I might be medicated because of this. I will never say. I will never. Only Caroline knows, and she's not talking. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I've spent all of our money. We're going to be bankrupt. We're going to lose our house. We don't go on vacations and nobody will buy this cart. So I thought, okay, well, maybe the small mom and pops will. That's what the locally owned, So I'm in small town Alabama. I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? So I've got the carts in Georgia. He was really not nice to me at all. He ended up being a crook, unfortunately. And he wanted these off of his property. And I'm like, I need to put these carts. So I went the mom and pop route. I needed to build the demand. I didn't want just Alabama demand. I needed nationwide demand. I knew that I had the families, the special needs community, the support, because I'm on social media and they're like, we got to have it. We got to have it. So the first cart was sold in Chicago, Sunset Foods. It was a locally owned mom and pop store. Took a chance on me. Cart one sold. So it took me about a year and a half, maybe a year. This happened so long ago, a year to strategically place my first round of carts, but I could only go to mom and pop stores. So literally it was hunting and pecking, looking for mom and pop stores, making phone calls. Okay. So seeding the market. So once the market was seeded in the mom and pop stores, there was only 88 carts because there was a fire at the manufacturer. Yeah, and didn't get any money back. That was such a dark time. So I was done. I was like, okay. And so every time I would place a cart, I would go to social media and say, now there's one. Here's the address. I don't live in that state. Please go take pictures. I need feedback. Go. So it was just, it was a movement. It was a nationwide special needs movement. And if you have any special needs listeners, they probably know. I mean, Caroline's Card is very well known. I mean, it was a movement. That's all I can say. We got tons of media, local media in different places. We ended up getting national media, but not yet. So finally, they're all placed, 88 cards, strategically across the U.S. I'm done. I'm like, okay. I've made no money, of course. Yes, I sold those, but I didn't make any money. I mean, I was, the 88 carts that I sold didn't put a dent into our debt and our 401k that was robbed of, that we had to rob. And so I sat and I just worked social media. It was about a year later, because this took years and everybody's like, why did it take so long? I'll tell you, I'm not corporate America. I'm a mom of three littles, one severely disabled, juggling, surviving, trying to do ballet, T-ball therapy, children's hospital, all the things. So I worked on it when they were asleep, when they were at school. That's why it took so long, because I did something that corporate America should have done, and I had no help doing it whatsoever. So about a year after the carts were all placed, my phone rings, and it's North Carolina. And I'm like, I was sitting at this dining room table working, and I was like, North Carolina? I only know one person in North Carolina, but they don't like me. It was the manufacturer saying, okay, lady, we now have Walmart and Kroger and Target calling us, saying our customers are demanding Caroline's cart. We won't buy from that lady. We'll only buy if you make it. They said, it's now time for you to come back. Third trip, I got an international market manufacturing contract. That's how it happened. It was the hardest. It was years and years and years of heartache until that happened. But it happened. Yeah, it's now international. Caroline's Card is in Dubai. It is in Australia. It is in New Zealand. It is in every state. Last year, Walmart did a corporate rollout. We are in every Walmart in the U.S., every neighborhood market in the U.S., every Sam's in the U.S., every Target. I mean, so it was successful. It, you know, I always laugh and I want to go back to those three and be like, I told you it was a good, you know, it was a good idea. So yes, that's how it happened years and years. And let me say this, this is very important because you may have listeners that say, gosh, millions of people create a product and bring it to market. That's true. Millions of people do. But I'm the unicorn of that because I created a product that millions wanted, but millions couldn't buy it. I had to bypass the consumer. I had to bypass the end user of this game-changing cart and sell it to the retailer. And guess what? Retailers don't buy Caroline's cart, mark it up, and sell it. No, it's off the bottom line. It's overhead. That made it infinitely harder when you create something. So I never, ever in my entire journey of doing this, ever met anyone like me that created a product that millions wanted, but I am that unicorn. You know, I'm in the same category as, I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it, toilet paper. Every Walmart has toilet paper. They got to buy it. They have regular carts. They've got mats. When you walk in, if it's rainy, you wipe your feet. You know, I'm off. I'm overhead expense. And wow. Yeah. I guess I knew that going into it, but halfway in, you're like, oh my gosh, everybody wants this carp and nobody can buy it. Yeah. So that made it hard. I know that was a lot. So there.
No, you are, first of all, an incredible storyteller. I don't know if anybody's ever told you that.
Oh, but thank
also,
you.
I mean, obviously you're an incredible speaker. I already knew that based on what I've seen and witnessed. But also I'm just sitting here kind of, I don't know, my jaw is dropped because just your refusal to give up. I mean, so you have the debt mounting, the debt is mounting, the debt. Time is passing.
Yep.
And here
years, not months. I want everybody to know this was years. Yeah. Years passing. Go ahead. Sorry.
I know. No, that's fine. And then and you have this incredible invention that is going to help so many, but in also you're a mother and you're, you know,
doing this when I could.
God. Three littles. And that means like going to school and lunches and dinners and everything else, you know, back to school shopping, all the other stuff that goes along with that. I just am enthralled and bowing down to worship you, just not giving up and seeing it through.
Well, I appreciate that. Everybody's like, why didn't you give up? Let me answer that. I know you didn't ask that, but I get that a lot. Why didn't you just stop? Well, two things. Number one, when you have put all of your money you don't have, and your retirement into something, you are financially driven to see it through. Okay, number one. Number two, I had gone to social media early on before I even had a manufacturer, and I had the world's largest minority group counting on me getting this done. It was so much pressure. Because I'm like, gosh, David, not only will I fail our family if I can't do this, which, and he never said that to me. My husband's fabulous and so supporting. Not only have I feel like I failed our family, I failed our retirement, I failed our future. I feel like I'm failing the world's largest minority group. They are counting on me. So while it was a pressure, it was a great pressure to have because I needed that support. I needed, if it wasn't for the special needs community, that I was able to reach through social media, Caroline's Cart would never have made it. I am just one voice. I needed millions behind me saying, "This, we have to have this." I had millions of people going to Walmarts and Targets all over the world saying, "You are getting this. You have to, you've got a variety of carts for so many. You're helping, you've got electric scooters, you've got the race cars, you've got the fire trucks, you've got traditional carts. You are going to get this." That is, that massive collective voice is what pushed this over the finish line. I couldn't have done it alone. There's no way, no way.
Oh my gosh, thank you for that. It's like you had your own little army of supporters who were—
Yes, well, I did, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who I would even go, I was vulnerable and would do Facebook Live and be like, y'all, I feel like I'm on an island here alone, because although they did support me, it was my baby. It was my money. It was my retirement that was on the line if this had not succeeded. So yeah. How could I be in Dubai? How could Caroline's Cart be in Dubai without social media? Are you kidding me? I mean, it just proves that it was a global unmet need, a global unmet need.
Absolutely.
And nothing was easy. So now let's revisit what I said the first 5 minutes. Had I known the whole picture, would have never done it. Who would have? Who would have put it all on the line? Yeah. I don't know anybody that would have. So I'm glad I'm glad that I lived in Oz when I was getting this off the ground, because I mean, I was like, la, 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 la. Then I would, you know, wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning having a panic attack, like, oh my gosh, I can't pay my bills. So yeah, it was so, and I laugh. I told my husband this morning, I'm like, I've got a podcast. And he's like, oh, you're gonna be okay? Because he knows when I tell the story, I sometimes like get a rash all over again. I'm like, just reliving how hard it was, you know?
See a rash yet, so I think we're doing okay.
No, it's like, I'm good.
Well, I'd love to ask you the second question of the podcast, which is, did you grow up in a religious household? And if so, you know, how has that changed as you've gotten older and moved through the world, your relationship to the divine?
Okay, absolutely. I was very blessed to grow up in a godly Christian Bible believing home. Praise God. That set me, I mean, life is hard. Whether you have a special needs child or not, I don't care who you are, life is hard. And I am so glad, you know, when Caroline was born, the cart was years after. Nobody wants a severely disabled child. That's not the child I prayed for. I prayed for healthy babies. Healthy baby number one came. Life's great. Healthy baby. I'm going to have a healthy baby number two. Well, that didn't happen. And that, if it wasn't for my faith, oh my, I don't know how people get out of the bed. So my faith tremendously helps me. It grew me, stretches me. But I, you know, at the end of the day, I know that this is not my eternal home. I know that Caroline will walk one day and her first steps will be on streets of gold. And my faith is very important to my husband and myself. We raised our children in a Christian home. And I believe that Caroline's cart was God ordained because I could not have done it without the Lord guiding, directing, and leading. You just can't. There's a lot of my story you don't even know that I don't have time to get into. My husband lost his job right after we drained all of our savings. And yeah, my husband was unemployed for a year. And I mean, we had nothing. It was, oh my gosh, so bad. So yeah, it was a very dark, dark time. And our faith saw us through, not only the cart, but even still daily with Caroline. Yeah.
How old is she now?
25. She'll be 25 October 9th. So coming up, what, next week? Wait, what's, yeah, next week, October 9th, 25 years old. And so many, I mean, I can't tell you how many times we were in the hospital with her, really countless of tonight's the night, the angels will come. She's on a ventilator. She's not going to make it. And yeah, she's here. 25 years later, defied all the odds.
I'm just asking this. In my family, we have my sister-in-law. Her sister has a special needs child that has to be on a very, 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 very specific diet of protein where everything gets weighed every day so that she...
Caroline, too.
Oh, really? I was going
to...
Yeah,
I have to weigh Caroline's every day. Yes. Caroline's on the keto diet for her seizures. She has massive seizures. Terrible epilepsy, but the keto diet changed her life. And yes, I'm like a chemist. I'm in there weighing all the things. And it's tremendously made a huge difference in reducing her seizures.
Yeah. Isn't it astonishing? Just, I mean, this seems like such a simple thing, but what they've discovered about how diet can change everything.
Oh, wow. Right. Yep.
It's like, why didn't we know this before?
For sure. Yeah. Well, and then we look at her and we're like, gosh, we should be eating what she's eating. You know, she's doing great. You know, we put, you know, processed in all the junk, or I do, you know, Little Debbie's. I shouldn't be eating Little Debbie's at night. So yeah, it's been amazing. And I 10 out of 10 recommend looking into the keto diet if your child has seizures.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for all of that. And I really want to say, especially thank you for detailing and telling the story of this journey that you took that was completely unplanned, completely unexpected. But you said you had to be an advocate and, you know, not just an advocate for your family and your daughter, but suddenly you became an advocate for so many whose voices were unheard. Or,
right.
You know, I feel like sometimes with special needs, people prefer not to hear from that community because it makes them uncomfortable or it makes them feel obligated.
You better believe something.
Yeah. But they need advocates. They need people to step forward and say, hey, you know, this, look at, we can make such a big difference for so many families, so many people.
Right.
And I'm so grateful that you just have this unstoppable spirit and you're like, this is going to help so many people because I think people think about going to the grocery store and you think, I'm just going to go to the grocery store. This isn't a big deal.
Well, sure.
You know, I'm
effortless,
just going to do
that. Right? Effortless. Right.
Absolutely.
Right. The largest user of Caroline's cart, you know, of course I made it for my daughter who doesn't walk, but the autistic community, they're the largest users and those kids walk just fine, but they're runners and they're overstimulated. So I hear, you know, I've gotten thousands and thousands of letters over 15 years saying, gosh, because of Caroline's cart, I can now take my 16-year-old who walks just fine and loves to pick out their cereal, but they never could before. Or they did when they were little, but now they pull away from me. Senior adults love Caroline's cart. The dementia, Alzheimer's, not everybody can drive an electric scooter. So that was a demographic that wasn't even on my radar that is a huge supporter of Caroline's cart. I get those pictures, and you can see them on my Facebook page. I get those all the time. Pictures of senior adults Thank gosh, I'm with my wife. She has Alzheimer's. She loves Caroline's cart. And otherwise, I leave her with the sitter. Now I take her because she can't drive the scooter and I can't handle her and get my week's worth of groceries. So that wasn't even on my radar. So actually, the need was bigger than what even I thought it was at the time.
Wow. And I just bet that all of these letters and messages, all the feedback, it just must, I don't know, I would be levitating. I'd be feeling so good that it's helping. Well,
it's what kept me going, right? If it was not for that community, I don't, you know, again, I'm one voice. One voice wasn't going to do it. One voice. I needed that global voice and they rallied behind it. And that's the only way it happened. Hands down. I mean, yes, it was my money. It was my war. It was my idea ever, you know, but if I didn't have them, I would say Caroline's Cart would have never happened. Even if I had had $10 million, would never have happened in the 80s without, because even if I had all the money, we still had to build that demand. Still, I couldn't have reached them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, thank you. I mean, I was at one point while you were telling your story, I was getting goosebumps because it's just such a powerful reminder that we can change the world. You know, if we just keep going, we can do things to help other people or lift other people up, no matter what other people are saying or doors that shut or people that say no. I had goosebumps and I just thought, oh, this conversation is making me happy. So
I want people also to know, no matter what you're doing, no is just a word. You know, don't give it any power. You know, early on, I gave no a lot of power. Then I realized, you know what, that's got two letters in it. And I was, I don't care. You know, that word will only affect you if you allow it to affect you. And I had to just not allow that word to stop me, you know? And failures. Oh my gosh, the number of failures that happen. Okay, all right, you failed, get back up. I mean, you can't allow rejection or failures to just freeze you in your, you just can't. And I did early on. So, I mean, that's what I want to say is I learned from that. I'm like, wait a second. I'm not going to allow that rejection to have any authority over me, any power over me. I'm just going to work around that. And that's what I encourage people to do no matter what they're doing, you know, no matter what. Everybody's doing something.
Yeah. You
know? Everybody's doing something.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness. But that is how the cause got birthed, was out of the cart.
Okay.
And that's a scholarship nonprofit.
Okay. Okay.
So I can't really, you know, when people say, tell me about the cause, it's hard to talk about the cause. And this was set up for families like mine. We wanted to give back to this global community that helped us get the cart off the ground. And it's a scholarship for families like mine that have special needs and a special needs sibling. I mean, have typical and special needs. And that's who can apply. The only to qualify for the scholarship, you have to have a special needs sibling. We want to honor them and recognize them. And say, wow, we know how hard life is. We want to help you. And that's kind of what's next for me.
What I really love about this is the generosity just keeps flowing. You know, I mean, your generosity of spirit of not giving up and just your steadfastness. And then you get the carts. The carts are everywhere. But then you're not sitting on your laurels. You're thinking, how else can I support these families? How else can I show up?
Because I'm one of them. I speak their language and I know how hard life is. And I know how financially devastating raising a child with a disability can be. And, you know, for anybody, Caroline's Cart is a nonprofit. So, you know, anybody can give a donation like any other nonprofit and they get a tax donation. When people hire me to speak, they pay my nonprofit. So I can come speak to them. They get a tax deduction for having me speak and their money goes to scholarships. So, you know, I do want to plug, if anybody is looking for a speaker, it's just a great way. It's a win-win. It's a win for your company to get a tax deduction, and it's a win for families because your money goes to scholarships. I do not take a salary from this. You know, I want to, somebody gives me $100, I give $100. Somebody gives me $5,000, I give $5,000. So, and it's not easy. I mean, this is an uphill battle too. You know, nonprofit work, I've never done it. It's hard as well. I'm figuring it out as I go.
Well, thank you. I do want to say that, the main question of my podcast is coming up, and it's, you know, I ask you to share, you know, one story or two stories of an event, in your life where you consider to be magical or miraculous, maybe even mysterious. But I'm sitting here talking to you and I'm thinking to myself, I do believe that, you know, one of the stories you could tell is about yourself and that you yes. are the miracle that the world needs right. and has needed in the past. Absolutely. But I would so appreciate you sharing, you know, one story, two stories of an event that you consider to be magical or miraculous, maybe mysterious. I would so love to hear whatever you want to share.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, so many come to mind. You know, I think anytime I think of miracle, I think of Caroline. I think of her in Children's Hospital on the ventilator for a week when the doctors come to me and say, she's not coming off. And if she does, she'll be blind. She'll be worse than she was. And time and time again, that never happened. And you believe the doctors and you prepare your heart. My husband and I many times have been, you know, crying in the corner thinking, okay, we got to plan services, but we've never seen her this bad. Even the doctors are saying it's not going to happen. And then lo and behold, the next day she wakes up and they take her off the ventilator and they're like, okay, she dodged another bullet, you know, and we believe that is the power of prayer. I mean, I know it is. And I know that the Lord had a plan and a purpose for Caroline's life. When she was born and I grieved and I didn't understand it and I didn't know about Caroline's card, I believe that the Lord was saying, if you will accept this child, which of course we did, we'll ever know different than others. I have a plan and purpose for her. And Caroline will have a legacy. You know, the world would look at Caroline and say that she is a waste and she can do nothing. No, Caroline did not make all the phone calls and she can't even talk. But Caroline's name and her legacy and her story is now international. And we know that that is miraculous, hands down. Everything in my house, at least for my husband and I, as believers, we don't believe anything happens by chance. So again, when he lost his job and we had no money in the cart, it was a prayer journey. It was a prayer walk. And the whole story of Caroline's cart, along with Caroline's health, I think is miraculous.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And just what I think is especially powerful is that you never lost faith.
You know, I am so thankful to my parents who raised me in such a, I had such a strong foundation because of them, and not everybody has that. It was my strong foundation and my faith that kept me going. Because again, whether you have a Caroline in your life or not, everybody has experienced heartache and loss and gosh, just life's tough. And I am thankful that I did have that faith, because that is what got me through. And that's how we raised our kids. You know, it's hard to have little kids come visit their sister and have the questions. And is Caroline going to die? We don't know, but we're all going to die someday. And, you know, only the Lord knows that. And we'll deal with that when that comes. So we had to deal with death early on with our other kids just because of Caroline. So, you know, my husband and I, you know, we have adult children now. It's fun and it's rewarding to see their faith and how strong it is because of their upbringing, because of a difficult upbringing, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I wanted to ask, you've brought up your parents a couple of times. Did they foster in you kind of a sense that you could do anything, that you could show up for anything? For you, yes. You know, independent and powerful,
yes.
And right? Okay.
Yes. My parents were both Christians. They did divorce when I was a teenager. That was tough. And I think living with my mom as a single parent, watching her struggle and have three jobs She was a school teacher, but that didn't pay the bills. It just wasn't enough. And she did all these odd jobs. And she instilled a very significant work ethic in me. And I saw her struggle. And I didn't, you know, nobody wants to struggle. I was like, gosh, I hope I don't, you know, nobody wants that. But if we can learn from that, and if we can make decisions in our lives to do the best that we can so we don't. So when I went to college, I was like, gosh, you know, I'm gonna major in business. You know, I'm going to see if I can be able to support myself. You know, I didn't get married till after college. You know, she always used to tell me, love does not pay the bills. You can love what you do, but love does not pay the bills. So I remember thinking, gosh, there might be other things I, you know, maybe I should have been a teacher, but I saw her struggle, you know, and we don't pay our teachers enough in this country. So I'm thankful for what they did instill in me. And I do think that living with a single mom was helpful in my own work ethic.
Absolutely. My mother, after my parents' divorce, worked nights at a, she was a nurse by profession, but worked nights at a retirement community. And so it was really interesting as a kid to have, you know, a babysitter overnight while my mother worked and then wake up and would be up for a few hours, but then she would sleep during the day. Right. And so that was kind of, you know, you just don't expect that when you're a kid.
Yeah. It's sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
It was very
strange.
Well, guess
what? She probably didn't expect it either. You know, our, you know, I think at least for my mom, she didn't see herself divorced and working three jobs, you know, but life happens. Life happens to all of us.
Yeah. And somehow these amazing human beings that we call parents can sometimes model for us a really powerful way of being in the world. And then the way that they model it for us allows us to go out and then change the world with what we do.
Right. 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 I believe in that. I think you have to have a good, strong examples and foundation to help you be successful. I'm not saying you have to have that to be successful, because you don't, but it certainly doesn't hurt.
I would be lying if I said that I didn't just sit back during this episode and think, I don't know if I would have had the tenacity or even the temerity to go back to those retailers over and over again. I am not made of such stern and brave stuff, but it's clear that Drew Ann Long is. And thank goodness for that. Because of her, we have this, you know, in my mind, I thought, why wouldn't we have these carts everywhere? I mean, it just made sense to me. But apparently other people did not feel that way. And so it took Drew's courage, her conviction, her ability to not accept the word no. And now Drew has changed the world and made life a little bit sweeter and a little bit easier for those with disability, but also their caregivers and loved ones. To find out a little bit more about Drew in the amazing work she's doing in the world, there will be a link in the episode show notes, as well as to her Facebook page. Please check out Carolyn's Cart. Please check out Carolyn's Cause, because Drew is making this world shinier. She's making this world better. She's making this life more beautiful for so many people. I'm grateful that Drew is in the world, and I'm grateful that she took the time to be a guest on the podcast. I'd really like to thank each and every one of you for listening. Please do consider leaving a rating or writing a little review. Those ratings and reviews are ever so important because they steer people towards the podcast. I'm always trying to get new listeners. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request.
Be like Drew. I really loved when she said, no is just a word. I'm sure that each and every one of us has come across people in our lives who say no. No, you can't do that. No, you actually don't have the capability to do that. No, you can't go past that gate. No, you are not allowed. And Drew's take on no is just a word. And really, when we're coming up with something beautiful and visionary for the world, do we need to listen to that word no? Maybe we can ignore it. So I'm really urging you to think about where the word no shows up in your life and just exactly who is saying that to you. I'm not saying ignore them, but maybe just think, no only has as much power as I give it. And I have something gorgeous here that's going to be good for a lot of people. So I'm going to keep going. And I'm going to bring my vision. I'm going to bring my beauty to the world. And you can't stop me. So there's that. Think about the word no. And where do you give it power? And does it really merit that amount of power? I say no. So go ahead, bring your beauty, your gifts, your changes, your ideas, all the glorious things hiding in that gorgeous heart of yours. Bring them out to the world. We need them. The world needs them. And guess what? With all of these incredible ideas, you know what I'm going to say. This world is going to become even more beautiful, even more incredible, and even more equitable and just for every single person and every single being, including the world, around us.